Good morning. Welcome to Trust the Bible, growing your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro, and this week I'm going to be talking about shame. I'll talk about what is the difference between guilt and shame, and I also want to distinguish between two different types of shame. And this is something that comes to the shock, I think, of a lot of believers. But what I want to tell you is that I do not believe that God wants to free believers in Christ from all shame. I think that there's actually a benefit to certain kinds of shame, but God does want to free us from other kinds of shame. So I'm going to talk about shame. I'm also going to talk about God's grace, because God's grace is powerful. God's grace is a force that is designed to transform our lives, how we live, how we think, how we talk, what we do. And when God's grace impacts us in those ways, it fills our life with joy, with peace, with passion for living. And I'm going to begin by talking about God's grace in relation to shame. And I think it's important for us to understand what God's grace is designed to do so that we can most benefit from it. So let me talk about just one starting place. Acts 4:33 says, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. I think we place a lot of emphasis, maybe not even enough, but we do place a good amount of emphasis on how we want to have Spirit-filled churches. We want to have Spirit-filled lives. We want the Holy Spirit moving in us to bring about revival and change. But I want to point out something I think we largely ignore, is that God's grace is designed to do that, to transform us, to send us on mission, to change us, who we are, and how we experience God. So we often think about God's grace in the category of we need forgiveness of sin so that we can go to heaven and those kinds of things. But I believe God's grace is something that day to day changes everything about our lives. So let me talk about shame and guilt. What is the difference between these two things? Well, guilt, I would define it as the actual wrongdoing and the resulting state that you're in because of wrongdoing. If you commit a crime, you are guilty, meaning you have guilt. Having guilt is the condition of being guilty. We often talk about guilt as if it is a feeling, like he was so full of guilt after he stole the cookie out of the cookie jar. And here we don't really mean the state of being guilty so much as we're talking about the feelings of guilt. But I don't really think that's quite right. I think that over the last number of decades, psychologists largely have created this category of guilt as a feeling, as if there is no such thing as true, real guilt. And according to the Bible, there is. According to the Bible, when we sin, we now have incurred guilt. We now are in a state of being guilty. When we're talking about the feeling of guilt, and certainly when you do something wrong and you know that you're wrong, you have a feeling of guilt, that's really more where the word shame comes in. Shame is this feeling you get when you know that you have acted in a way or are in a condition of not meeting someone's approval. And there are two kinds of shame. There is shame that we feel in as a result of our wrongdoing, because we have sinned, because we have done wrong. Then there is shame because we just don't meet the standards or get the approval of someone that we want to approve of us. So let me give you an example of two kinds of shame. You can have shame because you stole your neighbor's lawnmower. And he comes home when you don't expect, and he sees you mowing your lawn with his lawnmower, and you didn't ask, and you know that he didn't want you to do that, and so you feel shame because of wrongdoing. Now, another kind of shame, though, the second kind of shame would be that your neighbor makes fun of you because you have an old beat-up car that barely runs, and he has a brand-new, really nice, expensive car. And so you both pull into the driveway at the same time, and he gets out and you get out, and he says, "Oh, I see you've still got that old piece of junk car," and you're kind of angry at him. You might even say something back to him. Maybe you just keep it to yourself, but you also have this feeling of shame, maybe, that, you know, "Oh, I don't measure up to my neighbor." Or this kind of shame might be my parents, my mom or my dad or both my parents are always saying, "Why haven't you done this?" Or "Why haven't you gotten married yet?" Or "Why haven't you gotten a promotion at your job yet?" Or they always seem to want something more from me, and I can never get their approval. I can never impress them. And you feel a sense of shame for that. Or it might be appearance. Maybe your spouse just says some things about your appearance, your weight, your, you know, something like that, and you feel a sense of shame for that. All right, so these are two categories of shame. One is a God-given response to your own wrongdoing and sin. God has given you a conscience. God has equipped you, designed you, so that you feel a sense of shame, a type of embarrassment when you do wrong. And I would say that is good. That is good shame. That is God's gift to you. Listen, what is a sociopath? You know, a sociopath is one of the defining characteristics is someone who has no ability to feel bad about the wrong things they do. So they can go kill a bunch of people and they don't even feel bad about it. They no longer have the ability to feel shame about wrongdoing. We would not view that as a good thing. You know, it is actually a blessing to have a bad feeling. That is God's gift to you to get your attention, to say, "Hey, pay attention to how you're living. Pay attention to what you're doing. It's not what you want to do." None of us would want to be free from all shame when we do wrong. And if you think about it in your life, if you never had any shame at all for anything you did wrong, would you really be likely to ever want to study the Bible, to ever improve your speech, your behavior, your thinking? Would you really care as much about spiritual growth and growing to be more like Jesus and loving others if you did not have shame when you do wrong? No, I would submit to you that I think God has designed us in such a way that shame is one of those emotions we feel at a certain times that spurs us on to grow, that leads us to want to trust in His Word more, that humbles us so that we call on Him for help, that points out to us that we all need to grow in our love for others, our love for God, that we all have work to do on our lifestyle, on the way we live and think. And that's a good thing. That's God's grace. That's God's presence helping us to want to pursue Him. So that kind of shame, I would say, is a good thing, and that is part of God's grace. Now, the other kind of shame that I've been talking about, this shame about our appearance, about our successes, about the things that we own, you know, the car we drive or the clothing we have, I would say that kind of shame is basically when what God has equipped us with to feel shame over sin, that kind of shame is triggered falsely for the wrong things. God made that kind of shame to help us overcome sin, but when we value the approval of others more than the approval of God, when we value the things of this world more than the true things that matter, which is the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then that same shame can be triggered, but here it's in an inappropriate time. Here we're feeling shame when we shouldn't feel shame. And here's where God's grace comes in to help us overcome shame, that bad kind of shame. In other words, when you know you have God's approval, which you know because of God's grace, which is displayed through Jesus Christ giving His life for you at the cross, when you know God loves you that much and you have His approval, then your need for the approval of others is diminished and fades away. And I'm going to talk more about how you can overcome this kind of shame tomorrow. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.